All right, my friends, thanks for tuning into the podcast, where, as always, we'll discuss the professional literature and the evidence-based protocol as they relate to the effective treatment of clinically significant anxiety symptoms. I'm Chris Lines, licensed psychotherapist and OCD spectrum disorders treatment specialist, and this, well, this is OCD Straight Talk. This podcast is made possible by NoCD. NoCD offers effective, affordable, and convenient OCD therapy. NoCD therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention, or ERP therapy, the gold standard treatment for OCD. With NoCD, you can do virtual, live face-to-face video sessions with one of their licensed, specialty-trained therapists, and they accept most major insurance plans. To find out more about NoCD, visit nocd.com. That's nocd.com to book a free 15-minute call. For people in the state of Kentucky, you can go to kentuckyocd.com. That's kentuckyocd.com and book a session with me. Well, like I say, certainty is a thing not to be achieved. And the clearest, at least in my estimation, example of this is when you look at something like contamination OCD and someone has a thought that he's dirty and feels uncomfortable or distressed in some way and correspondingly has the urge to wash. The question that emerges is really, well, how do you know that you're dirty? How do you know that? And the follow-up questions become something along the lines of, like, how many germs are on your hands? What kinds of bacteria? Are these bacteria or germs, are they alien to your immune system as it stands? And the more kind of factually oriented questions that you ask, the more you're going to receive the answer, well, I don't know. Right. So how do you know that you're dirty and that this thought or this sort of feeling isn't just your contamination OCD? How do you know that you actually are dirty such that you need to wash your hands? And then relative to hand washing, there's a corresponding set of questions. Once you've washed them, how do you know that they're now clean? Or how do you know that they're cleaner? Based upon what information? Like, you don't have a microscope or whatever equipment you might need in order to definitively track the amount of germs that have been washed away, how clean your hands are now. Like, you have no way of knowing that. It's all really based upon the feeling that I felt dirty, I washed my hands, now I feel clean. But this matter of certainty hasn't been achieved. And I think that the same logic can be played out whether we're talking about some kind of harm construct or relationship OCD or real event fear or sexually taboo thought. Whatever it is, you can walk the same logic out. There isn't any way for you to achieve certainty. But make no mistake, the greater your need for certainty, you might say the more obsessed with getting it you are, well, naturally, the more you're going to be willing to do, the harder your pursuit of certainty. And what that looks like, needless to say, is the engagement of compulsions. Whether those compulsions are subtle or maybe not so subtle, the desperate feeling will correspond to the engagement of compulsion. But then the more you engage the compulsion and the harder you pursue certainty, at some point you come face to face with the reality that you still don't have it. You still don't have certainty. And now there's this like degree to which we've just leveled up, and the desperation level is now even greater than it was. And that means the anxiety is higher and the compulsive frequency is greater, and the awareness that certainty has still not yet been achieved is also increased. Round and round and round we go. And that street, like I've said in a previous episode, goes two ways. the less you do in the way of meaning to achieve certainty, the more comfortable, you might say, you become over time with not having it. Your desperation level, your anxiety decrease in relationship to your correspondingly decreased level of compulsive engagement. You see how that works. We can either go clockwise or counterclockwise. In either case, you don't have certainty, but the point becomes that you're more or less comfortable with that reality in the process. And like everything else when it comes to OCD, that centers on, are you engaging compulsions? Are you engaging your day oriented to and focused on your feelings? Or are you mechanically working to stop compulsions even while you're uncomfortable? There's another idea that also I've talked about on the podcast that sort of parallels and complements this concept. And it's like intrusive thoughts are not irrational. And oftentimes loved ones and physicians and other therapists or psychologists will tell us that, oh, don't worry, that thought is irrational. And kind of the idea is, well, that's not something that I think you need to worry about. Now, maybe other people should worry about that kind of thing, but not you. And to my mind, the trouble with telling an anxious person, don't worry, your thought is irrational, is the loved one or the physician or the psychologist is denying the reality that this thought could be realized. It's possible. It may be unlikely, but it's not impossible. In other words, it's not the fear that's irrational. It's rational on the basis that it's possible. Again, it may not be likely, but that doesn't mean it's not possible. The anxious person needs not be comforted with likelihood, but needs to increase his or her ability to live life right alongside of uncertainty. The punchline is, it's the compulsion that's irrational. It's the idea that the contamination OCDer washes his hands and then walks away void of anxiety, thinking he is now clean, meaning not dirty. Not at all dirty, not even a little bit, no dirty at all, right? How can you possibly know that you're not dirty at all? How can you possibly know that you're any cleaner than you were before you washed your hands? And you'll object and you'll say, well, of course I'm cleaner than I was. I mean, I washed my hands with soap and warm water. Of course I'm cleaner now. After all, the bottle says that it kills 99.9% of germs. And it's like, terrific. The bottle says it kills 99.9% of germs, but you don't know what germs are on your hands. We haven't established that because you haven't been able to identify what's there. How do you know what germs specifically that bottle is talking about? And how do you know the germs that are on your hands aren't the exception to the rule? Hence, it's irrational to wash your hands, feel less anxiety, and believe that everything is totally good now because I washed my hands. So at this point, we've laid out a couple of lines of thought. And to my mind, these lines of thought together raise now a new question. And that question is, and how do you tell the difference between OCD and real world threats? Like, take, for example, a guy who's dating a woman, and that woman maybe sometimes exhibits some patterns toward him that aren't the most pleasing. Maybe she's not always the most sensitive to his feelings. Maybe she doesn't really like the same things that he likes, and he finds that he's often making hobby-related sacrifices in order to spend time with her. Maybe from time to time, patently, she's rude to him. But then here he is, he's got relationship OCD, and he has these nagging and ongoing worries that he's dating the wrong person and that she's not right for him. He has intrusive thoughts that he could be happier with somebody else, but at the same time, his romantic feelings for her are real and undeniable. So it's not just as simple as saying, well, clearly she just isn't good for him. No, there's more to it than that, because he does have relationship OCD and he's had it for a number of years. So how do you tell the difference between real world concerns and, you might say, mere OCD fears? I mean, I think that this is such a profoundly good question. And part of the reason I think that it's a good question is because, well, it could be both a real world concern and relationship OCD at the same time. Well, how do you tell the difference between the two? Because it's like if asking for certain needs to be more thoroughly met and voicing concerns of whatever sort, this is only compulsive if real world concerns aren't present. What I'm meaning to say is, in terms of, well, what's a compulsion? A compulsion is a behavior that we're doing with some amount of repetition for the purpose of trying to manage anxiety or get rid of intrusive thoughts, to sort of speak generally, as long as that behavior isn't meaningfully connected to the mitigation of real danger. Now, here we're having to water down the term danger to accommodate the real world sort of dating concern. Might this guy spend exorbitant time with a woman who's not right for him? Is that a danger? Well, it is a very real possibility, and we might say a legitimately concerning risk. Dangerous? Okay, maybe not dangerous, but it is a real possibility. And if he were to find himself on the business end of that raw deal, it would be quite regrettable. So we want to be able to rule out as definitively as we can that real danger isn't afoot. Well, how do we do that? And I think that at least in this particular instance, how we do that is we establish reasonable expectations. We work on identifying measurable and therefore definitive, but reasonable expectations. And then from there, what we do is we start to articulate those reasonable expectations to our partner. We develop reasonable expectations. We articulate reasonable expectations. If those reasonable expectations aren't being met, I suppose it's fair to say that there's quote unquote real danger afoot and we have a legitimate problem that we need to work to deal with. Now, let's say our partner's done some work and he or she has met those definitive yet reasonable expectations, yet we still have some anxiety that, well, maybe this person just isn't right for me. Now, have we ruled out real danger? Well, yeah, we have. So the behaviors that we're engaging to try and manage anxiety or get rid of intrusive thoughts, would these behaviors now meet the definition of compulsion? Well, it seems that they would. So I think that one of the answers to how do you distinguish between the two is we identify real danger and put in place mitigation factors. And what we're left with, both in terms of obsessional and behavioral symptom on the other side, we can chalk up, I think, reasonably safely as OCD. But I think that there's another answer. And that answer is, well, how much time are we spending worrying about this? And of course, the term worrying not only means experiencing intrusive thoughts, what if this, what if that, intrusive images, urges of whatever kind, but also worrying meaning ruminating. So experiencing intrusive what-if thoughts, but then responding to those what-if thoughts internally with, well, then I'll do this and I'll do that. I'll handle this situation that way and that situation this way. And the more time we're spending on ruminating on these intrusive what-if thoughts, the more pronounced and obvious to my own mind that this is OCD and an obsessional need for certainty. Because to my mind, like one of the ways that you distinguish between healthy anxiety and clinical or unhealthy anxiety is that level of obsession with the need for certainty. Now, that's not technically correct. Technically, the answer is anxiety becomes clinically significant when it begins to affect one's ability to function. But I think sort of a fine print way of saying that is when your need for certainty is such that you can't seem to put the worries down, is such that you can't seem to stop engaging safety behaviors in pursuit of certainty. And of course, the more that you pursue the certainty, the more you realize you still don't have it. And so back to the behavioral drawing board you go. At this point, to my mind, you've crossed over from what feels like a healthy concern over a possible future outcome to clinically significant anxiety relative to whatever it might be. So to my mind, there's at least a couple of ways to answer the question, how do you tell the difference between, you might say, a real world concern or healthy anxiety and clinically significant anxiety within the context of OCD? And quite conveniently, those two answers come back ultimately and finally to the definition of compulsion. A compulsion, as you know, is a behavior that you're engaging with some amount of repetition for the purpose of trying to manage anxiety. That is to say, prevent it from happening, quiet it down a little bit, or neutralize feared outcomes. That is to say, try and quiet down intrusive thoughts or prevent them from happening, as long as that behavior isn't meaningfully connected to the mitigation of real danger. So we filter out real danger, and what we're left with is a list of behaviors that we have to stop. Well, that's it for another episode of OCD Straight Talk. Feel free to reach out with any questions you might have to chrislines04@gmail.com. If you found the podcast helpful, consider giving it a 5-star rating or subscribing to OCD Straight Talk for structured help with your anxiety or OCD symptoms.